I had been hiking down the Appalachian Trail for over 2 weeks without issue on the day when the nightmare began. My friend X was by my side the entire time. It was quite honestly comforting to have someone who stood nearly 6.5 feet tall with me, especially during the long, dark nights when the howling of coyotes drew near. Black bears, too, were a constant presence in these dark mountains. As we got farther from towns and civilization, more ancient predators than human beings took over the land, stalking the night like creeping shadows. For this trip, we both had bought as few supplies as possible. Included in our packs were MREs, 2 sleeping bags, some tarps and hammocks, some light clothing, and 2 pistols with a few boxes of ammo. We didn't want to be too weighed down that we wouldn't be able to move fast, after all. We would source water from the streams, waterfalls and lakes along the way, and filter it using life straws. As the spring breeze blew past us, cooling the sweat on my face, I noticed the trail ahead of us weaving its way through thick swampland. The buzzing of flies and mosquitoes increased with every step. The green, fetid waters of the swamp bubbled constantly, as if it were whispering secrets to us. "Ah, shit," X said, glancing down the hill with his dark, serious eyes. His tan skin was covered in a thin sheen of sweat as he wiped his forehead with the back of his hand. "Another swamp. I hate swamps. You know there's going to be 1 million mosquitoes and flies down there." I pulled out the map, squinting down at it. I ran my finger down the trail, seeing the mountains and valleys we had already passed. "The trail shouldn't be going through any more swamps," I said. "They're supposed to be marked. There's no ponds or anything around here." And yet there very clearly was. Either we were in a different spot than I thought we were, or the map was outdated. The trail also grew thinner as we descended. The sharp branches of the bushes stuck out like greedy hands, grabbing at our backpacks and clothes as we pressed forward. "Well, whatever," X said gruffly, plowing ahead. Twigs cracked under his massive bulk. The thin branches hanging across the path snapped as he plowed forward. I let him go first, since he was significantly bigger than myself. It was like following in the path of a bull. "The faster we move, the faster we'll be through it. We don't want to camp anywhere around here when it gets dark," X continued, looking grim. "We'll be eaten alive by bugs by sunrise. We need to make it to the other side of these boglands before we can stop for the night." "Yeah? Man, I could use some more water," shaking my mostly empty canteen. "I wouldn't drink this shit no matter what we did to it. It probably has brain-eating parasites crawling in it." I checked my watch, realizing that dusk was only a half hour away. We would have to move fast indeed, especially as we didn't know the size of the swamp. I wasn't enthusiastic about hiking in the dark with the many steep trails and sharp rocks that covered the surrounding land. A single misstep could lead to a very long, bone-shattering fall. To my increasing dismay, I realized that the trail we were on no longer had the characteristic white markings of the Appalachian Trail. I kept checking the trees for the past 15 minutes, and I definitely hadn't seen a single one. I couldn't remember the last time we had passed one either, but I had a creeping suspicion it had been at least a couple hours. "I think we have a problem, man," I whispered. "I don't know how it possibly could have happened, but I think we got on the wrong trail." "Well, there's not supposed to be any trails around here," X argued. "Check the map." "Then where's the white blazes?" "There's not supposed to be any boglands around here either, yet we're walking through the middle of one," I said, and he shook his head. "Listen, Ben, there's not going to be markers on the entire trail," he said. "Just trust me. We're on the right path. Sometimes forests change. Swamps take over spots where forests used to lie. Hell, the Sahara Desert has been expanding for thousands of years, just eating the forests and plains all around it. There used to be lions in savanna in Morocco, and now it's all dead and dry." I felt doubtful, but I continued forwards, following closely behind X. Neither one of us had ever done the full Appalachian Trail, after all. I hoped he was right. I was not enthusiastic about backtracking 2 or 3 hours if he wasn't. I thought back closely on our travels during the last few hours, wondering where we could have gone wrong. The trail had been rather overgrown and rocky on the peak of the last mountain. There had been a beautiful view spanning hundreds of miles, looking far off into state forests and winding roads. I remembered seeing the white marker near the top, but after we had started descending, it disappeared. That must have been where we went wrong, if we did, indeed, go off course. But I couldn't be sure, and I didn't tell X about my suspicions. We finished descending a steep, rocky trail into a valley where the boglands really started. The trees ended in a massive semicircle around the open swamp. Thick peat covered the entire surface of it like rotted grayish-brown skin. I saw water snakes quietly disappearing into the stagnant water, leaving behind slowly expanding ripples. "This is pretty cool," I said, stopping for a moment at the bottom of the trail to admire the boglands. Our trail continued directly through the center of it, no more than a raised patch of black earth surrounded by green, swampy water. I could hear the many insects chirping and flying around before we even took a step forward. Though the spring air felt warm and I was covered in sweat, I still reached into my bag, taking out a windbreaker that would cover up my arms and neck to help with the bugs. And X did the same. "Let's move fast," he said, giving me a knowing look. He was a much faster hiker than myself. He seemed like a machine sometimes, tireless and single-minded. I had seen him hike for over 20 miles in a single day without looking too bent out of shape. I gave him a faint half-smile, picking up my pace. "You know what they used to say about the boglands?" I asked X, and he shook his head. "I don't read books," he said. "If I have to sit down and read, then it means I have time to go out and do something actually fun. But I'm sure you know all about it, don't you?" I gave a short bark of laughter at his offhanded insult, and it sounded far too loud echoing back to us through the creepy swamp. The last rays of sunlight were disappearing behind the mountains now. Soon we would be plunged into darkness. Well, in ancient times, people thought the boglands were a place where the walls of reality were really thin, where the gods would come through. They used to bring their victims out to swamps during rituals. Then they would slice their throats or strangle them and dump their bodies into the bogs as an offering to the gods. They also said that strange, shape-shifting creatures would appear, sometimes to deceive travelers, and other times to help them, I said. But as for human sacrifices, the bogs preserve bodies like nothing else, except maybe tar pits. Archaeologists keep finding victims with slashed throats or shattered skulls buried underneath the peat. X was silent for a long moment as we continued walking alongside the raised patch of earth that formed the trail. We got farther and farther from the forest, until the swamp seemed like a fetid ocean, spanning out to the horizon in every direction. "Do you think they used to do that kind of shit around here?" X asked. "Used to," I exclaimed, laughing. "I'm sure some of the psychopaths still do. This is a great place to dump a body, after all. Who the hell wants to trek through the muck and the snakes and mosquitoes out here looking for corpses?" "Well, the FBI and the cops will do it," he said, "if they think there's something to find." I was about to respond when an ear-splitting shriek echoed out all around us. I couldn't tell where it was coming from at first. X's tan skin seemed to go pale as he spun, glancing in every direction. "What the fuck is that?" he screamed over the deafening wailing. I didn't believe in cryptids, but my anxious mind immediately offered up an image of a banshee, a woman with chalk-white skin and black eyes whose shrieking jaw unhinged like a snake's. "I'm turning around," I yelled, pointing back for emphasis. "Dude, fuck this. We need to get out of the swamp." But X was no longer listening. He was looking past me, his mouth open and his eyes wild. He started backpedaling and nearly fell into the swamp. Windmilling his arms crazily, he turned and sprinted away without a word. I was afraid to look back. The screaming was getting louder by the second, shaking the air wall around me in deafening, crashing waves of sound. I felt like my head would explode if it got any worse. Instinctively, I took off after X, but I glanced for a single moment before I did. Something loomed there from a nightmare, standing as tall as the trees. It moved through the swamp like a snake, its body slithering through the stagnant green waters towards us. When it met my eyes, the screaming stopped. The abrupt silence seemed deafening. I could hear the fervent pounding of my heart in my ears. The creature's skin looked honeycombed and rough, almost like a wasp's nest. The thousands of tiny holes covering its body constantly opened and closed like hungry mouths. Its arms were long, tentacles ending in sharp points of bone in the shape of scythes. The tentacles undulated like serpents. Its legs, too, were no more than four tentacles that alternatively slithered and stepped forward. Its flesh was the color of a peat, a sickly grayish brown, and the smell that emanated from it was rancid and stagnant, the essence of all boglands and swamps. I nearly gagged as I ran. The putrefying stench seemed to follow me like a shadow. Ahead of me, X was fumbling in his backpack as he ran, trying to grab his pistol. I knew he had a Glock 21 in that bag, and I had my 6 hour in mine. I cursed myself for not keeping it holstered on my body, but I had never had to use it before, and hadn't seriously thought I would need it for this trip. He glanced back at me, his eyes widening in horror. "It's right behind you," he yelled. "Get down!" He dropped his backpack, revealing the sleek, black pistol, clenched tightly in his hand. I barely had time to comprehend his words when an immense pressure and numbness radiated through my back. My head snapped backwards as a meaty thud resonated all around me. I went flying forward, feeling as if I had been struck by a car. As I flew through the air, the pain in my back exploded in burning pulses. I felt the deep slice open up from the sharp blade of bone that had slashed me like a knife. I felt trickles of blood pour from the opened wound, making my stained shirt cling to my body. I landed hard on the raised black earth of the trail, a bone-jarring impact that knocked the air out of me. At that same moment, X opened fire, pressing the trigger over and over, emptying the magazine as fast as he could. Something splashed over me, going in my eyes and mouth and nose. I crawled forward, moaning, my head spinning. I wiped my forehead, seeing spatters of green blood squirming with dark, maggot-like creatures covering my arms and face. It clung to my fingers, thick and rancid. I felt stinging sensations as the tiny worms bit me over and over. My ears rang with a high-pitched whine from the gunshots. X was running towards me now. I continued to crawl towards him, shell-shocked and whimpering, trying to wipe the eldritch blood off my skin. With a muscular arm, he reached down and pulled me up. "Where'd it go?" I mumbled, stumbling forward on unsteady feet. X put an arm around my shoulders and helped support me. "It slunk back into the swamp," he said. "You're bleeding really bad, buddy. We're going to need to take care of that as soon as we get away from this hellhole." I felt the deep slices from the creature's blade-like hands across my back. The fabric of my shirt clung tightly to the skin as fresh blood soaked it. "This isn't the trail, X," I gasped. "We went the wrong way. We need to go back." And he nodded grimly. "We're heading back right now. I know it's the wrong trail now. It definitely is. But it's dark. The trails back up the mountains are steep and dangerous, and we've already been hiking all day." "How much longer can we really go?" he asked. In reality, I had a feeling X could go for quite a bit longer, but I was the weak link in the chain, and we both knew it. X took out a small LED flashlight from his backpack, shining it ahead of us on the dark path. Across the center of the black earth, there was an obstruction, something that hadn't been there when we passed this way originally. "Shit, is that a person?" X said, slowing down. He focused the light on it. As my eyes adjusted, I gave a gasp of horror as I saw a rough, sacrificial table looming there, waiting with a ready victim. Laying on the bare wooden planks in the center of the trail was an elderly man wearing the garb of a hunter. He was gagged, a bloody rag shoved deep into his mouth. I felt a sense of revulsion and terror as I realized his hands and feet were nailed to the planks, as if he were being crucified laying down. His eyes rolled wildly, white and insane, like a horse with a broken leg. When he saw us approaching, he tried to say something through the gag, pulling hard against the nails that bit so viciously into his flesh. Fresh rivers of blood spurted from his wounds. I had my pistol in my hands. X had taken a fresh magazine out by now, throwing the empty one back in his backpack. Trembling, he went first, his shaking hand moving the flashlight around wildly. Its bright rays bounced off the dead, half-rotted trees that grew out of the boglands. The clouds of mosquitoes and moths circled us constantly. "Oh my God, he's like the victim of a serial killer or something," he whispered, running a trembling hand over his face. "It looks like someone has set that poor guy up to have his heart cut out, like some sort of Aztec ritual." He glanced worriedly at me. We had both stopped cold in our tracks, looking around for any sign of danger, but we only saw the man writhing on this table of torture. "We have to keep going forward," I whispered. "That thing is behind us. I don't think it's dead. I'm not sure if it even can die." "But what's ahead of us?" he asked grimly. "That's the real question, isn't it?" Far off down the trail, I saw small pinpoints of flickering light. They drew closer. We raised our pistols, waiting for the new arrivals to show themselves. Dozens of people dressed in black silky robes holding lamps slowly ambled their way towards us. They had their heads bowed, like monks on a holy pilgrimage. They drew close to the sacrifice. The one in the lead held a long, curving dagger whose blade looked like it was made of some kind of red volcanic rock. Its strange silver handle glittered in his pale, thin hand. At the end, I saw it was sculpted into the shape of a human heart. "Stop right there," X screamed, stepping forward. "Don't come any closer. We're armed. I'm warning you." The people in the black robes didn't appear to hear or care in the slightest. They continued slowly following their leader with a strange dagger, almost floating forward in a nonchalant manner. Their leader began chanting in some strange, ancient language. It reminded me of Tibetan or Sanskrit in a way, like the chanting of some monk high up in the Himalayas, but it had a sinister, hissing quality to the words. Something ancient and powerful resonated in every syllable. I raised the pistol, firing blankly into the dark, cloudless sky above. The smell of gun smoke and fetid rot hung thick in the air. The leader of the group looked at me with his large, glassy eyes. His face looked sunken and pale, almost like a starving child. He had shaved off all the hair on his head, even his eyebrows. His lips were extremely thin and bloodless in his chalk-white face. For a long moment, we stood staring at each other. My pistol aimed at his chest. X also had his pistol raised, aimed at one of those standing behind him. But the robed man didn't speak. He gave me a faint grin instead. "Let the old man go," I commanded, my voice sounding hoarse and weak. The swamp quickly swallowed up my words, until only the buzzing of mosquitoes remained. "I'm sorry, son, but I can't do that," the leader said in a voice as cold as endless space. "If we do not feed Maldoroth, it will never sleep. The swamps will continue to expand, eating more and more of the surrounding forests and towns. And Maldoroth, driven by insane hunger, will take far more victims in the process. This job has been passed down to us from generation to generation, from big hand to small, for over 4 centuries. Only twice has Maldoroth not been fed on the new moon, and each time, entire settlements full of people were wiped off the face of the earth, as if they never had existed. On one, they just had time to carve the word Croton before they were taken. Maldoroth looks for the place where the nightmares grow. It breaks open the chest and finds the place where the silent screams start, deep down at the base of the heart. All of the nightmares are planted there, like tiny seeds scattered during childhood. Those that fell on good soil in that abyss produced a great crop, yielding 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. If you do not allow us to complete our holy mission, then you do it. Cut open the man's chest and remove his beating heart. As it beats, squeeze it as hard as you can, and let all the blood drain onto the top of your head. Hold the heart above your head and close your eyes, until the god appears and takes it. The cult leader finished, looking at us with sparkling eyes, as if he had said something profound. "This shit is just fucking insane drivel," X whispered in a voice as low as possible. "I say we open fire and save the old man now. Fuck these cultists." I nodded at him grimly in agreement. "You all need to turn around and leave immediately," X yelled, stepping forward. "I will give you 3 seconds to turn around and get out of my sight. 3. At first, the cultists stood still as statues, simply staring. Finally, the leader sighed and turned away. He shook his head, reminding me of a disappointed parent. "I tried to warn you," he said in his thin, quavering voice. "The time has come to give the offering. You must cut out this man's heart and raise it, so he can get the seeds of nightmares freshly sown. The choice is yours now, as you have demanded this power with violence. You can leave this man here to be eaten, or free him and, in exchange, guarantee the deaths of hundreds of other people." With those last words, the black robe figures continued down the curve of the trail. Within seconds, they had disappeared behind dead, half-rotted trees that still dotted the edges of the boglands. X and I ran toward the struggling old man. X reached into his pocket and pulled out a folding knife. He cut off the old man's gag, pulling the spit-soaked chunk of filthy cloth out of his mouth. The old man spat and licked his dry lips. "Get me out of here, please," he whispered, his eyes rolling wildly. "Those cult members are all batshit insane. And there's something not right in these swamps. I caught glimpses of something while I was waiting. There's something in the water." "What's your name, bud?" X said calmingly, looking at the old man's hands and feet to try to decide how to best get the nails out without causing more damage. "Winchester," he said in a coarse voice. It sounded like he hadn't had a drink of water in days. While X looked at his hands with the LED flashlight, I reached into my pack for the small canteen of filtered water I still had. I started pouring it into Winchester's mouth, and he gulped it greedily, his throat working hard to drink down the rest of it. "I got it," X said, taking a flat stone he had found on the ground. "I'm going to try to pound these nails out from the bottom." "Oh, please no," Winchester said, his wrinkled face turning pale. And X shook his head. "We need to get you out of here. It's going to hurt you, bud. The nails are huge, almost like railroad spikes. And once we get the top part, the bottom should slide out easily, since it's a lot narrower." As he grabbed the rock to begin his work, a bone-chilling wailing started up again from the swamps. It wasn't the scream of the Madara, that abomination with the skin of a wasp's nest. "Cover us," X yelled, panicked, as he continued his grisly work. Winchester screamed in pain when X first struck the nail on his right hand. It shot up a fraction of an inch, fresh blood pooling all around it and dripping through the bare planks. I turned, but the banshee wail seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere. The swamp bubbled faster and faster all around us, as if thousands of corpses were coming back to life. I heard Winchester scream again, then the dull thud of another nail hitting the earth. A face then peeked out of the swamp, only 20 feet away. Its eyes were green, the color of a putrefying wound. Its lipless mouth opened wide, showing a spongy black mass of skin with concentric circles of tiny, razor-sharp teeth. It reminded me of the mouth of a lamprey. I opened fire, shooting wildly at the face, aiming at the body hidden under the dark surface of the swamp. Luminescent drops of green blood exploded from a bullet hole in its upper right shoulder, floating across the surface of the water like radioactive waste. Its screaming cut off instantly. All I could hear was the pounding of the rock behind me and Winchester's pained, horrified pleas for mercy. "Please, you're hurting me," he pleaded. "Shut the fuck up, Winchester. It's here with us now," I whispered. With considerable effort, he did, only moaning and violently jerking his head now as the waves of pain ripped through him. "I got it," X said suddenly. A feeling of elation filled my heart. "Well, let's go then," I yelled, turning to help the old man up. I heard something massive rise up behind us. It mixed with the sound of dripping water and babbling waves that arose from the disturbance. Winchester was weak, stumbling up to his feet and nearly falling over immediately. Staggering, he took off down the trail with no shoes, but he immediately gave a curse of pain and tripped. X and I started running, and at that moment, I realized the flaw in our plan. We wouldn't be able to get Winchester out of the swamp without carrying him, due to the extensive injuries to his feet, and I knew we didn't have time. Madaroth's body stood as tall as the trees as it looked down at the three of us with its strange, infected eyes. Its tentacles undulated faster and faster, seeming to whip around its body until they flew out towards us. "Run!" I screamed. X and I sprinted behind a cluster of dead trees hugging the path. The blade-like hand of the ancient god chopped them in half, raining wood splinters down on our heads. Winchester continued to try to crawl forward. Madarath slithered behind him. Winchester looked up as a tentacle started coming down in his direction. He gave a short, panicked scream as the blade smashed through his back legs, chopping both of them off at the knees. The ground shook with the force of it. The stumps began spurting seemingly endless amounts of blood. Winchester pleaded and made incomprehensible gurgling sounds as he bled out. Madarath ended Winchester's cries when it wrapped its tentacle around Winchester's torso. It slithered up into Winchester's open mouth. Axe and I shot as fast as we could while running forward in the dark, trying to hold a flashlight and a pistol. Most of my shots missed, but with a sense of satisfaction and pride, I saw a few burst throughout its enormous body. Streams of radioactive green blood ran down its torso. As its serpentine legs pumped furiously, it gained speed, coming behind us like a runaway train. I could feel the ground shaking with every thud of its tentacled feet. A few hundred feet away from us, I caught a glimpse of the cultists. They were hurrying away from the area, not running, but moving much faster than they had come in. Nearly out of breath already, and exhausted from hiking all day, I pointed forward. "Look," I screamed, and X saw them, his eyes widening. We sprinted in a blind panic as fast as we could towards the stragglers in the black robes. Without warning, X raised his pistol and fired, aiming at the nearest of them. The figure in the back of the pack fell forward without making a sound. He continued trying to crawl forward weakly for a few moments before he lost energy and lay still, no more than a bleeding black hump on the dark earth. X then gave a sudden cry of pain next to me as a tentacle came down like a guillotine blade. I heard it whip through the air with a high-pitched whine. A single breath later, I watched in horror as it sliced off his right arm. X looked down at the spurting stump for a long moment, his tan face turning as pale as bones. He stumbled forward, then with a hoarse cry, he fell. Following X's lead, I raised my gun and started shooting the cultists. They sprinted away in a random panic as bodies fell ahead of us. I jumped over the black lumps on the ground, hearing the ancient god shake the world as it gave chase. A long, snake-like tentacle reached down, picking up X's spurting body and raising it towards its leech-like mouth. The mass of abomination slowed, picking up the bodies of the dead cultists and crushing them. I heard the bones shatter as the wet gore exploded around its many sharp teeth. I saw the woods again, living trees just a few hundred feet away. The trail of black earth ended abruptly, leading out of the boglands. Cultists sprinted blindly through the forest in every direction, scattering like cockroaches. I had nearly reached the border of the forest when I heard something whizzing past my head. I ducked, but the blur of a grayish tentacle coming down sent a jolt of fear like electricity sizzling through my body. A moment later, a cold agony covered my left hand. In shock, I looked down, realizing that the blade-like appendage of the god had neatly amputated all four of my fingers. If I hadn't ducked, it would have probably gotten my head instead. Stumbling and screaming, my mind in a blind panic, I staggered through the intersection of the boglands and the forest, falling forward. I knew I was dead. I closed my eyes waiting, yet nothing happened. When I looked back, I saw something strange. Madarath had stopped at the end of the boglands. It tried to push its body towards me, but it couldn't enter the forest. It was as if an invisible barrier stood there. I lay there for a long time. After a while, I heard it slink back into the fetid waters of the boglands, and then I was alone. I wrapped my hand in bandages as much as I could, trying to stem the bleeding. I felt weak and sick from blood loss, so I lay there until the sun came up. The next day, I was able to slowly make my way out of the forest and back towards the nearest town. Now, I hear stories of people mysteriously going missing in the area. An entire family in a nearby farmhouse, only a couple dozen miles away, disappeared in the middle of the night, without a trace, leaving only smeared trails of blood leading into the forest. No one saw anything, but these six victims were only the first in a long line of strange deaths. Oddly enough, all of the victims lived next to swamps, and I have the feeling that I was the one responsible for it.